everybody. Bill Buckmaster back in the saddle again. Good to be with you, along with my buddy John Couch, who is engineering and producing the show. And together we welcome you to the program. It's Tuesday, one of those days that will feel like a Monday for a lot of people, but it is Tuesday, September the 7th, 2021. I am so blessed to have a great backup team that I call upon when I want to get away, like we did over the Central California coast last week. Shout out to Dan Shear, Shelley Fishman, Dan Gibson, Ben Bueller Garcia. Great, great shows that they put together. Hopefully we did not miss a beat. In fact, I know we didn't in keeping the quality up for this program, which is in its 11th year. Here on the radio on the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. And of course, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Norma Cable, public relations and marketing specialist for one of the finest community food banks in the country. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of the national group Feeding America, which named our food bank here in Tucson the food bank of the year in 2018. So they do great work over there. And their big event is the 2021 Hunger Walk. It's coming up this weekend, and we wanted to put Norma on the air to tell our listeners about it and how to participate. Norma, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. It's so nice to hear you.
Thank you. Back in the saddle, it was so good to get away for a couple of days. Cool air over in that area above San Luis Obispo, and so that really, really felt good. But it's good to be back, and so what's coming up this Saturday?
Sure. Well, nice to have you back, Bill.
Thanks.
We have our biggest fundraiser of the year for the Community Food Bank, and that is happening this Saturday. It's Hunger Walk 2021, and so we're very excited about it. We have about 750 registered walkers right now. We're hoping to get to 1,000 by Saturday, and it is mostly a virtual event. As you can guess, Bill, we are not organizing 1,000 people at a park because of COVID. It just is not happening this year. And so mostly we are looking for virtual walkers. And what that means is you go to communityfoodbank.org and you sign up, you register. I think it's $25 for an adult. And then you get to pick when and where you will walk on Saturday, September 11th, at your leisure, basically. If you'd like to walk in the morning around your neighborhood for a mile, if you'd like to go for a hike, if you'd like to go on your treadmill, if you'd like to go walk in your swimming pool, whatever works for you, to take some time to come together to raise some funds, raise some awareness, to fight hunger, to end hunger in our community. So that is what's happening on Saturday, and we really do hope that we can make that last push to get to 1,000 walkers.
And then if you want to put together a small group of people, you can walk together.
Absolutely. So we do have people who like to walk in teams, and they do a great job fundraising and walking as a team, and that is wonderful to come together. And then you, again, walk where you want. We also do this year, we are offering just some small meetup sites, and there are four of them in the Tucson area. And so that is something that we're able to offer in sort of a hybrid event this year, four different sites around town. That would be Udall Park, Kino North Complex, George Mell Park, and Reed Park. And that is from 8 to 10. We are limiting attendance. We have limited space. Of course, it's not an opportunity for a huge group. But if you'd like to register and do that, when you register at communityfoodbank.org, you can go in and look at what the meetup places are and what works for you. So we're just offering that as a small option this year. We are thinking that most of our walkers, of course, will be virtual walkers. And still in the time of COVID, last year was our very first virtual Hunger Walk, and it was very successful. And honestly, we just really had to figure out what a virtual event was because the world was changing so fast. But we did, and it was very successful. And for us, it's just wonderful to see how people decide they are going to make this effort and step forward to fight hunger in our area. And so we do ask people to share their photos, take a selfie, use the hashtag Hunger Walk 2021, and then we can see people in the mountains or people walking at the park or people walking their dog or families or communities. It really is very encouraging and just a great way for us to know that we're not in this fight by ourselves.
And the food bank really stepped up over the last 18 months during COVID. Kind of summarize what that 18 months has been like here in Tucson for our community food bank.
Absolutely. So when COVID started in the spring of 2020, we knew immediately that we had to change our method of distribution. Before COVID, you would park at 3003 South Country Club. You would go inside the food bank. You would wait in line in close proximity with other people. Then you would get a grocery cart of food, and you'd roll that out to your car and load it up and then drive out of the community food bank parking lot. And we just really knew that that was not going to work with COVID, with so much potential for danger there. So what we did immediately was shift to a drive-through distribution, and we did that in our parking lot for several months until Keno Stadium opened up. And that is such a large parking lot, has some covered parking that we took full advantage of in terms of an area where we could distribute food, where our people could be under shade. The National Guard came in March of 2020 to help us, and they have been with us and continue to be with us to this day. So every bag of non-perishable food that goes out throughout the five counties that we serve in southern Arizona is now packed by a National Guard service member. And so we just wouldn't be here without them. They came in, they provided such key assistance at a time when we really couldn't invite volunteers into the food bank to do what they would normally do. Those were some people who were at highest risk of getting COVID. So we had to pivot that way. In January, we moved back from Keno, back to our location at 3003 South Country Club. And if this sounds like a whirlwind, it really has.
Yeah.
But that is where we have been, and that is where we continue to be. At 3003 South Country Club, we're distributing food Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings from 7 in the morning to 10 a.m. We have some big tents set up. We do have some volunteers helping us. We also continue to have the National Guard helping us distribute food. All that has added up to a record-breaking year of distributing 86 million pounds of food in the five counties that we serve in southern Arizona through our last fiscal year. So an amazing year, an amazing response from the community who has helped us keep open throughout all of this and continue to provide food, not just in Tucson, but in our other resource centers like Green Valley and Marana and Nogales and Amado, who have all stayed open and all found safe, limited touch or no touch ways to distribute food. Also, our farmers market, you know, pivoted very quickly to be a drive through distribution. You can't just lounge around at a farmer's market and kind of stroll through and, you know, see what's up. You really, it just changed everything. But we're so proud of our staff and so thankful for a community that sticks with us and allows us to continue to do this kind of work.
All right. So summarize again this Hunger Walk. It's so important that funds come in during this period, because you just talked about what a huge year it has been as far as food necessities.
Absolutely. So Hunger Walk, again, our biggest fundraiser. And what we know in southern Arizona is that hunger was a huge problem before COVID began. COVID put the spotlight on it and helped us to know, you know, what it looks like in times of crisis. But it, even though we have seen the lines go down, it continues to be a problem that we address and see every day. So if you can, go to communityfoodbank.org and register at Hunger Walk and take part in what will be a great way to say, yes, I care about hunger. I want to see it. And we know that as human beings, we have that right, right? It's a human right to have food and to be able to live that way. So as we continue to fight hunger and the poverty that we so often see with it, we just appreciate the help of the community. So it is $25 to register for Hunger Walk for an adult, and then for kids ages 6 through 11, $10, and then kids under 6 are free. And if you do register at one of our meetup locations, then you will get a swag bag and a t-shirt there. If not, you can come pick up your t-shirt, you know, on Thursday and Friday afternoon from 3 to 6 at the Community Food Bank, and in Green Valley from 9 a.m. to noon on those days on Thursday and Friday. We are seeing just a tremendous response again, and And also, you know, we're named the Community Food Bank for a reason. It's the community that makes us operate and helps us keep going. We just wouldn't be able to do this work without them. And that has been so clear this past year and continues to be clear as we make our way and hope to make our way out of this pandemic.
Amen to that. And again, the four meetup locations, you said Reed Park was one of them.
Mm-hmm. And then Keno North, and then George Mills Park, and then Udall Park. Now, that is something that when you register at communityfoodbank.org, you need to go through and say, yes, I want to register at these at one of these meetup locations, because we do need to track
right.
how many people are there. We need to keep it at a safe number. We, of course, can't build up a crowd. You know, I hope that that day will come back when we can all be together at a park and enjoy a hunger walk together, but it's just not here yet. So
okay.
It is something that you need to register for when you go in and sign up.
Norma Cable, always a great job. Thank you very much for the very latest on 2021 Hunger Walk, communityfoodbank.org for more information. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks
great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. All right, let's talk a little bit about Mona's Danish Bakery. I was so delighted to find what was considered to be like this really high-end olive oil that I brought back with me from the Central Coast. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice to kind of, you know, like they do in the fancy restaurants, put a little olive oil in a dish and then dip a really nice, like, baguette bread in there. Well, that's where Mona's Danish Bakery comes in. Steve and the team, they're doing these beautiful baguettes now up there, and just delicious. So it was a great choice that we made to pick up one over the weekend at Mona's. Mona's Danish Bakery, located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. Of course, they open each morning for breakfast. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. They're on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. Of course, Mona's our favorite bakery here in town. Find out what all the excitement is about. You'll probably see a lot of your neighbors up there at Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll take a break right here. Buckmaster brings Shelley Fishman to the forefront after this, and Shelley gives me a thumb that's kind of going sideways, which means, well, there's some good and maybe some bad on Wall Street. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved Regional Transportation Plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. come by Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
You're listening to Bill Buckmaster. The Ramsey Show is coming up at 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shell, how are you today?
I am well, Bill. Welcome home again.
Yeah, we had a great trip. It's good to get away for a couple of days and cool off. This whole thing about labor, I was sharing with you earlier during the break that I saw a restaurant here in town. I won't name the restaurant, but they said, we are closed now Monday and Tuesday because we cannot get enough help. So, I mean, it's not that great out there.
Well,
depending on the sector, I guess.
Right. A number of the restaurants and a number of service establishments are complaining that they cannot hire the people they need. There's lots of reasons for that.
Yeah.
Probably they're not paying enough.
Mm-hmm.
And probably that a lot of the people that had worked for those establishments have found other work that is, quite frankly, more lucrative and also probably less dangerous, where they're less exposed to people every day. I mean, one of the problems we have right now, of course, is that with childcare being a problem and with pay grades being a problem, you just have people thinking that they can make other things of their lives. We had, interestingly, the numbers came out Friday, and they were not great employment numbers, but one of the numbers was interesting. Average earnings were up 4.3% in the month of August.
So employers are paying more.
So employers are having to pay more.
Yeah,
that is kind of a, you know, there are so many unexpected consequences of those kinds of things. That's actually hurting unionism.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we now have a president who talks up the union. Union jobs and unionism as being the foundation of the middle class, and yet we have people in non-union jobs who, because of the marketplace and because of demand, have really, in a de facto sense, brought the $15 an hour minimum wage into effect almost nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of interesting pieces covering this in the New York Times over the weekend.
Yeah.
I think it was a Saturday edition, actually.
It was, exactly, Bill.
Yeah.
So the August employment numbers showed only a $235,000 gain for the month of August. And what's really incredible is the way they put these numbers together is that only represents 2 weeks at the beginning of August of real numbers. The rest is mathematically derived. And so June and July were modified up, and they were already very good numbers. So June was modified up to 962,000, and July to 1.05 million new jobs. And then all of a sudden, kerplunk in August. And There's only one way to explain that, and that's COVID.
Yeah.
That's where we thought things were really recovering beautifully, just ran into some of the numbers for COVID are as bad as they were at the height of the pandemic.
Right.
And that's been a problem. We see the unemployment rate came down to 5.2%, which is good news. And the gross national, the GNP, or really has remained over where it was just before we went into this pandemic. So the economy isn't doing badly. My belief is that what'll happen when we see the numbers for September is that the August numbers will be revised upward, but they're not going to be revised upward to the point where, you know, people were expecting 750,000-800,000 new jobs. So that 235,000 number ain't going up to 750.
So the COVID Delta variant has put the brakes to a certain extent.
Exactly.
On this recovery.
And it's exactly where you would expect it.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, leisure and hospitality, you know, there's the hotel industry, restaurant, no change in the month of August.
Yeah.
Retail was down 28,000. State and local government was down 11,000. Construction, and I don't get this one at all, construction was down 3,000 jobs. And we see no indication of a slowdown in construction, except what we're seeing is supply line problems getting construction materials.
Yes.
And that might have had the effect of slowing construction down. The other thing we had in August is fires and a hurricane and the kind of things that shut down industries in multiple states.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what went on from the Louisiana coast all the way through, you know, the central Appalachians.
That's going to shut down home building or any kind of building with that going on, the flooding and the.
I think August is kind of an anomaly.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
I don't think you can draw any conclusions from those mediocre numbers. Mm. However, if that continues, if the Delta variant continues to drive people away from work, then the economy, which is now predicted to grow maybe 7% this year, you know, we won't see that number.
But the numbers still are holding pretty good. Like the Dow average is up, I think, 15% for the year.
Absolutely.
We're near record highs, right?
Yeah. I mean, are still at or near records.
Yeah. And the market is, as you always say, it's forward-looking.
So there's optimism.
That gives me some reason for hope.
Yeah. There's optimism in the investor community. When we take a look at where bonds are down. So that would anticipate some increases in interest rates caused by any number of things. If the Fed were to pull back on some of the stimulus things that they're doing to keep interest rates down, that would have an inflationary effect, which is why I don't think that's going to happen. I think, you know, he's going to keep on saying, you know, well, yeah, we're looking at it, but you're not going to see an increase in the Fed overnight rate probably till the second quarter of 22. And as far as is their bond buying, you know, they keep on saying we're going to cut that back, and yet we're not seeing that at all. So what I think is going to happen is, and you might want to check with Terry tomorrow on this, I think Congress is going to go ahead with some of the two infrastructure bills that are now pending, the $1.5 trillion bill that's
the principal one.
That's the principal one.
That's
the hard infrastructure.
Yeah, right.
Then there's a $3.5 trillion one that is the Build Back Better plan. Not all of that is going to go through,
no.
But a bunch of it will. And that is just instantly a stimulation to jobs.
Yeah.
We've got 5.3 million fewer workers today than we had at the start of the pandemic, and still over 7 million job openings. So anyone who wants to work can.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, when are they going to get back to it?
Mm-hmm.
This month, actually just yesterday, one of the major stimulators of unemployment ran out. So even though the administration is saying you can use some other money if you want to at the state level to continue to pay some of those unemployment benefits, my guess is that's not going to happen. In August and in July, when some states, I think 22 states, stopped the federal subsidy, the extra federal subsidies that up to $300 a month, the difference in the employment rate change in July and August was minuscule.
Yeah, I wonder if there's going to be much change.
So I think what's going to happen is we're going to see the biggest change coming this month, simply because kids are going back to school.
Yep.
And so a lot of the people who have not been able to get childcare are going to be able to go back to work.
Okay, Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure to see you. We shall see what happens, and see you next Tuesday. Thanks, Shelley.
Look forward to it. Thank you,
Bill. All right, we'll take a break right here. We have General Wickham coming up. Talk a little bit with him about the 20-year anniversary of certainly one of the darkest days in American history, 9/11. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at tucsonwildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, and it is so beautiful to have all the greenery here. I was shocked how dry California is. I have never, when we were over on the Central Coast, around San Luis Obispo area, it was so dry, and it was just so wonderful to come back to very green Arizona. And this is a great time to do some planting right now. And Green Things is the go-to place over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're open daily. They've got everything you could possibly dream of for your garden. And they also have something really important: great employees who know what they're talking about. So if you say, you know, I want some really nice color, and they'll steer you in the right direction, you'll get it in the ground, you'll be very happy. The website is greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business is Zocalo Village, zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With us on the live line, our military and foreign affairs contributor, retired four-star general, General John Wickham Jr., who served as the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 87, he was Commander-in-Chief of the United Nations Command and Commander of the United States Forces in Korea and the 8th Army in Korea. The Army Times magazine and newspaper calls General Wickham one of the 10 leaders who most changed the Army, and we're delighted to have him with us on the live line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill, and happy to be on your wonderful program.
Thank you very much. It's always a delight to have you on the show. And I think back 20 years ago to that horrible Tuesday, 9/11, 2021, and you were on my television show that night on Arizona Illustrated, and it was a pretty tough night. And I remember you on the program with me, and we're trying to sort out what had happened on that very dark day. And as we reflect back 20 years, General Wickham, let me ask you a basic question that Americans are asking. Are we safer today than we were 20 years ago?
Yes. Short answer is yes. And why? Because I think we've drawn a lesson from that event, and we've prepared ourselves to deal with it. Our leadership notwithstanding, because leadership varies in America and in other countries. But I think we have a better military force, much more allied with our friends and neighbors and allies. And I think that we're much more aware of the risks that we face as a nation and are better prepared to deal with it. So I think we are safer, no doubt about it, in my humble opinion.
You know, one of the main reasons, General, as you know, that we went into Afghanistan was the wake of 9/11 and to root out terrorism. Are you concerned we're going to have to eventually go back in to deal with some of the terrorists that occupy the Taliban?
Yes, I do. I think we face that reality. If we're going to be a world leader, which we are, if we're going to be asked to get involved and have to get involved to preserve our own interests as well as the interests of our allies and friends. So I think we will be involved now. Are we leaving Afghanistan too soon? One could argue, yes, we are. I don't think so. We've been there 20 years, and we haven't been able to change the face of problems from Afghanistan. So I think we're smart about leaving now and helping the region and the nation build a better facility. I've been on your program. I've often talked about the regional interests there, and they're very important. If we're going to deal with problems in the world, we have to think about those problems in a regional context and then deal with them with building capabilities on a regional basis. And in the case of Afghanistan, we're talking about regional nations there, Pakistan, India,
Russia. Russia's got to play a role, too, in this.
Oh, and China. You're exactly right. And so we have to build a regional basis for it, and we've not done very well in that regard.
You know, and Pakistan has to step up here because they have their own history with the Taliban. They have a group that's very much like
the Taliban, that is in sympathy with what's going on with the government now in Kabul, they're going to have to step up their game and to help stabilize the region, General Wickham.
Exactly. And when I was Army Chief, I went out there at the request of the State Department to talk to the leadership in Pakistan. And I did do that. And I was impressed by the fact that they are much more regionally oriented than we give them credit for. So we need to exercise influence with Pakistan and India and other nations in that region and help solve the world's problems. We can't do it ourselves. They all have to be done regionally and with other nations involved. And I think that's one of the major lessons that we can all draw from Vietnam. We went over there and we're going to show these people how to win the war. Step aside Asian personalities and we'll show you what to do. And look what happened. We didn't do it. And so we should have drawn a lesson from that the problems in the world had to be solved regionally. We can't do it on the basis that we know the answers and do it our way. That's not going to work. And I think that our current leadership here now in the United States is aware of that, and we're moving ahead in a smart way. So let's see how all this evolves.
You know, and we had talked months before when the announcement came there would be a date set for the withdrawal, and I think you and I both agreed that setting a firm date was a mistake. That should have been a rolling number depending on the situation on the ground. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I do agree. Exactly. You give a date, and that sort of gives a date to the enemies.
Yep.
And they'll capitalize on that time frame. And giving some doubt to enemies makes sense. That's one of the lessons you learn when you're dealing with combat situations, that you want to create uneasiness and doubt in the minds of your enemies. And I think giving them a date discounts that problem.
All right, General Wickham, 93, right? You turned 93 this past June.
That's right. Well, you remind people about that. I'm lucky. I'm alive, and I'm blessed to have the benefits of being on your program and also to be a citizen of the United States of America, the greatest country on earth. And look what we have done. One of the lessons that we have learned, we should have learned, is that look at the success of South Korea as a nation that came as a fractured nation and a war, civil war inside of the nation. Look at it now, a strong nation, strong leadership. And we're responsible for that, so we should take credit for it. But more than taking credit for it, we need to assure that South Korea prospers in Asia and that we as a leadership in Asia can make things like that happen and get other nations involved, China, India, Russia, United States, Britain. I mean, it's a large list. You know that from what your program does. Yep.
All right, General Wickham, always a pleasure. Stay well, and we'll talk to you next month. Thank you, sir.
God bless, Bill, and keep up your wonderful program, which means so much to keeping the public informed.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Dr. Ray Woosley is coming up next.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Each day, it's Bill Buckmaster at noon, followed by The Ramsey Show next. Join me and my co-hosts for 3 hours of the tools you need to win with money.
Welcome back. It is The Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Whether you love birding, geology, or fly fishing, the 17th annual celebration in and around Silver City on September the 16th through the 19th is a way to reconnect with the Gila River. The Gila River Festival, coming up September 16th through the 19th. More information at GilaRiverFestival.org or SouthwestNewMexico.org. Only a three-hour drive over to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, and that is Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Lots to do over there in a very green area of the Land of Enchantment. Time for our monthly segment about your medication and how to take control of it. We call it Your Meds. Your Meds segment features Dr. Ray Woosley, the former UA College of Medicine dean, founder, and now president emeritus of the very successful Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH. Dr. Woosley's latest creation, also a success, it's called Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. In fact, it's visited by people, thousands of them, from 180 countries each day. Check it out. Their website is crediblemeds.org. Let's go now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. It's so good to be with you again.
Always good to be with you. What in the world is going on with this drug that is used to kill worm infestations in livestock that some people are using for COVID?
Well, it's beyond me to understand. There are FDA-approved ways to treat and prevent COVID, but there's a group of people who think they know better, and there's a group of doctors who I think are purely unscrupulous, who have created a website where they offer consultation, medical consultations, where they charge you, and then they sell you ivermectin, and they're making millions off of this, off of people who trust them and don't know that they're being hoodwinked.
What in the world is ivermectin?
Well, it's a drug that's been used for parasitic infections in livestock for years. You know, livestock get worms, horses and cattle, and it can rid them of the worms. But and it's also been used in humans occasionally in low doses, or rarely actually, because sometimes people, especially traveling in other parts of the world, come back with roundworms and they develop an illness called river blindness. So low doses of the drug have been used to treat those rare parasitic infections. But and it's been used as a lotion to treat head lice. So it's an extremely toxic compound. And why anyone would want to take it, I don't understand. But they are, and they're being harmed by it.
Where did this start?
Well, it started on the Internet, where people think they can make a lot of money and take advantage of people and take advantage of the COVID epidemic, pandemic, and make millions off of it. And there's just a lot of money to be made, so there's a lot of fake information out there about it. But the FDA and the medical community have tried to get the word out that, and because of all this usage, there actually have been now some clinical trials or clinical studies, but they show that the drug does not work. Actually, more people are put on a ventilator if they've been given ivermectin. They get nausea, they get vomiting, diarrhea, face swelling. Suddenly, their blood pressure drops, severe skin rash, hospitalization, and severe liver injury have been reported with this to the poison control centers.
Why go through all this? Why not just get the darn shot?
Right. That's, you know, that's the simplest way. And, you know, I think a lot of people have said they worry about side effects from the shot. But there's severe side effects from getting COVID. I can tell you personally that about 25 to 30% of people who get COVID have what they call long-haul COVID, these persistent side effects where they have nausea, weakness, shortness of breath. And that's incapacitating for many people who have COVID. So you want to, I can tell you, you want to prevent COVID, and the only way to do that is with vaccination.
Yeah, I just, I'm at a loss, Dr. Woosley, and I know in your long career in medicine, you have never seen anything like this.
I haven't, but you know, it just, it goes all the way back to the snake oil salesman. The people who are, I don't know how they get into medical school, but they do, and they make their life just trying to hurt, not trying to hurt people, but trying to get money from people and not caring whether they're hurting those people or not.
This long-term, the long-termers, that is a real concern, isn't it?
It is a serious concern, and it's being studied, and the NIH is putting billions of dollars into studying it, because if 25% of people who get COVID are having these long-term serious side effects or recurring effects of the infection, then it's going to have a major impact on our health and our hospitals and on, you know, not just the infection, but the recurrent symptoms that these people are experiencing is going to cause severe problems for those people, but also the healthcare professionals that have to take care of those people.
What about the only FDA recommended drugs to treat and reduce the severity of COVID? What are they?
Well, the first one that was approved is an antiviral drug called remdesivir. And then the second that came along were the monoclonal antibodies. You know, then President Trump was treated with that, and it's being given by infusion to anyone who has early symptoms now to keep, because it's shown that it keeps you out of the hospital. It markedly reduced the monoclonal antibody infusion can markedly reduce the number of people that have to be put in the hospital, which means the number that go on respirators is going to be lower, and it's going to be able to prevent the number of those who go on to die. So there are effective treatments, and it's amazing that our scientific community, the FDA, the government, the industry have come together to rapidly identify how to treat this illness effectively. But we've got to make sure that the public knows that they can rely on those treatments and not go to the snake oil treatment
Now, we could have booster shots here on September 20th. Moderna might be a little slower in getting that approval. I think Pfizer would be ready to go September 20th. Do you think that's going to be something that will be recommended?
I think it will. We need the data, though. It's all well and good to say that you need a booster, but what's the dose?
Right.
What's the best time to get it? And who are the people who really need it, and who are those that don't? Because we know fairly certain that the people with a compromised immune system will probably need a booster. Most likely they will. We don't, as I said, we've got to make sure we know what dose to give them. We've got to answer questions like, well, what if I had Moderna? Can I take the Pfizer booster?
Right.
Is that better or is it not as good? And that's research that's ongoing, and we've got to give the FDA time to look at that data, give the companies time to generate the data, and then the FDA and the CDC time to look at the data and really make sure they are confident in what it's telling them.
And then there are the people that took the one shot, the Johnson & Johnson. What about those folks? Will they need a booster? That needs to be examined.
Exactly. And it may or it may not. We just can't be sure until we see the data. And, you know, it's not easy to answer those questions. We can measure the antibody in blood, but the immune system is much more complex than that. They have special things like these cells that travel around your body looking for the COVID, and those cells can't be measured in a laboratory test. So we need clinical outcome data to show that the booster is helping, because just looking at the antibody level in your blood isn't a full story.
Is the flu shot now the time to take it, or should you wait maybe to October?
I'm waiting till October.
You are? Okay.
I think it's coming up pretty soon, mm-hmm. and I think the as soon as it's recommended, I'll be in line to get that. And if they recommend a booster for people in my age group, I will definitely be in line to get that. I think the science is there, and I can, as I said, another episode of COVID would not be anything somebody should take a chance on. The next time you get COVID infection, which people can do, they need to really know that the consequences from long-haul COVID could be devastating.
Just get the darn shot. That's what I say, Dr. Woosley.
Exactly.
All right.
Faith in your humanity and believe in the millions of doctors and nurses that have helped create the treatments for this. And so we'll never have to do it again.
All right. Crediblemeds.org. Lots of information there, right, Dr. Woosley?
We hope so. We hope people will go there and find what they need. If they don't, let us know, and we'll make sure it's there.
All right, Dr. Ray Woosley, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. Hope everybody had a terrific three-day weekend, Labor Day weekend. I had a great week off, a little extra extension there by having the Labor Day weekend. So it is good to be back in the saddle on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Dave Ramsey, who did a couple of little notes there for us during the hour promoting his show. He's coming up next on KVOI. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. See you tomorrow for the Wednesday edition.